system. Unfortunately, presidents have great power, but the Congress has got the first chance. And it's done. This is something that would be the last thing that I want to have happen. I've been to South Vietnam 7 times. I've been to North Vietnam. I was there in 1953, before. I've been to Hanoi. It's a beautiful city.
Well, Mr. Dukas from Hanoi,
I feel sorry for the people there living under that damnable government. But my point is that I do not want to give, I don't want the Congress to do this, but it will. It will, not simply because the Congress and the American people are tired of war, but because the Congress and the American people believe very deeply that if those three goals are achieved, ceasefire, the return of POWs, and the kind of a political settlement which guarantees, which provides for President Hu to stay in power for the PM, despite this gobbledygook, and that's what I call it, and I'm going to call it that publicly, this gobbledygook about this commission and that commission and the reconciliation and all the rest. He has the power in Vietnam. If those goals are achieved, the Congress will believe that that is what he fought for, and that is what they will achieve. Now, there is no way, I would not want President Hu to make a decision based on the assumption that I, even after winning the Republican victory, could go on the television, as I've often had in this room, and mobilize the American people to continue bombing, to continue mining, and to continue the war until all the North Vietnamese leave South Vietnam as a condition. Let's go to the other side of the coin. So you've got an agreement. You mentioned the 54 Accords. They were burned down. You know that. Conference book, 54 Accords. Right. They're very careful. You know that. I know. Now, this agreement here, when it's made, what is said about the political, we want to get the best agreement we can, understand first. I'm all for getting the best agreement we can. I speak now as a lawyer, and one of the things we're supposed to do that. The best agreement we possibly can. You should ask for the best agreement we possibly can. And we'll try to get to improve the political sections. We will try to do our best to accomplish the other goals that we're speaking about. But I can assure you that if we were to get an agreement in which the North Vietnamese agreed to withdraw all their forces from the South, let's suppose we got that, an agreement where they changed the Commission of National Reconciliation, whatever they call it, the way that President Hu did not feel that it cast any reflections or raised any questions of a coalition government, if we got that agreement would not be the word of the paper that it's written on. If the man sitting in this office did not have the power and the Congress and the public to back him, and not only the power, but the will to resume buying, to maintain the credibility there, in the event the Communist broke, because even if they're back across the border, they can still come back, and when they've done that so often, and been through the infiltration and so forth. What we're really saying is this. The question is, in what do we put the greater value? A piece of paper, an agreement, improve substantial, or do we put the greater value in a commitment that I have made in writing, but I give to you now so that you can hear it directly along these lines? If we can get an agreement, I then can go to the Congress decides we'll have to very early in the session and ask for the funds that are necessary to economic assistance. Military, if you know, we poured an awful lot of military assistance in the past few weeks. We got quite deliberate because we know that that place, we want to be sure that you're well healed. Russia isn't. We get your interest in ours. We want you to succeed. But I exceeded the budget. I have to go to the governor. I have to go to the Congress. We can get there. I can go to them. And the Congress, realizing that we have a ceasefire, realizing that we have a deal, even though they were saying it's perfect, they realize that I'm in their perfect terrain. They realize there's going to reach all the goals here. Then the Congress will say, we will support the President of the United States in his efforts to save Vietnam by providing adequate military and economic assistance. And so I can give you my commitment. One, to provide military and economic assistance so that you can help yourselves. More important, I can give you the commitment. Two, if we get an agreement, which is that I will maintain the assets in Thailand and in the fleet, so that the enemy, if they reopen this, President Chu says, well, if they get this here, they'll start fighting again. If they reopen it, I will resume the bombing. And I will do it. Because I don't have an election coming up. If I ever resume it, when I did have an election, you can be very sure, and this is the only reason that they will have to talk now, that I resume it when I don't have. So that will be the situation. A third point that you made is that I then can stand firmly with President Chu, which I have always done in the past and want to do in the future, to say that we are going to stand firmly for the integrity of Vietnam against any foreign aggressors. And that means I'll be from the north or over your house or whatever the case might be. Fourth, this is not unimportant. President Chu, with his great sophistication, saw this fight. I will use my influence at the very highest levels to see that those who support the North, the Russians and the Chinese, know what the game is. I will also use my influence with the men in power. So, in my view, I studied it through, with that kind of power on your side, the military and economic assistance of the United States, which I have to get from the Congress. Second, with the threat, which is not an idle threat, the North will know it, that I will resume military activities in the event they break the agreement. If they have forces around, they break it. I will do it, and there will be not a moment's hesitation. And they are going to be told that. That's one of the other side of the coin. That's in your instructions. They're going to be told it without any question. And I think they believe it now. They haven't believed me before. And after all, I was the one that took the risk of Cambodia. I was the one that took the risk of my aid. And I will take this risk too. When you combine that with the influence which we think we can have on the other parties involved, I think, and also above everything else, a feeling of mutual trust, mutual alliance, at least for 4 years, because I'm here for 4 years, between myself and President Chu, we can save Vietnam. We can do it. I will do that. On the other hand, you see what the position puts me in. President Chu can insist on what he, on his attitude. I understand how he feels. He thinks the enemy should get out. Of course they should get out. He feels the political provision should have no reference at all, anything at all, to be any way interpreted as giving any role, even in the supervisory body for elections. Even though he has veto, and he doesn't want to have anything gives any connotation of the entity participating. I understand that. He liked us to have this piece of paper improved. I understand that. But as the leader of his country, his security is really in what we can do from here. And I am prepared to do it. And I will all out, all the way. On the other hand, I cannot go all the way. In the event that he decides that more important than having the total support of the President of the United States, the economic assistance and the military aid, which we will continue to provide, if he decides more important than that is to insist on changes during this next critical week, which is the last week for negotiations. If he isn't that more important than that, he's got to get these changes. Then it isn't a question of my threatening him or anything like that. It's a question of a statement of fact. Then there's nothing I can do. I can make a big speech saying we ought to continue to support him. It'll fall on deaf ears. I can go to the Congress in a joint session on January the 4th. I could. I won't. In case this happens this way. Because I won't do it because of the DNI objections. I have to go to the Hawks, not the Doves, you know, the Fulbrights and the Mansfields and the rest. I mean, they never know this, those people. But I'm referring to the Spenises, the Goldwaters, you know. They're your real friends. I'm referring to the Fords and the House I saw yesterday. These people are friends of you. They want to see, but they know just about what the traffic will bear. And they say that at this point, I must tell you what they say. I don't agree with this myself. I wouldn't go this far. But as far as the Congress is concerned, Congressman Ford told me yesterday, he said he wouldn't go this far, but he's a patriot like you are, and I hope I am, and sees the bigger picture. As far as the Congress is concerned, if a simple resolution comes in, POWs, for withdrawal of aid, is the Congress would pass it by 2-1. It's a terrible thing to do. You can't fight a war for your POWs. You can't make an agreement simply for your POWs. That's why we have never done. But that shows you what the temper is. Now, what I'm really trying to get across here is that it is not, however, and I'm rather surprised that President Jew's concerned. I know I'm not surprised. He's there in the battle and he sees the suffering and the rest. But what I'm trying to say, and I want to get across very clearly, is this, that we are dealing here with a reality that cannot be changed. There is no way that the President of the United States, even with 61% of the American people voting for him in the election, can go before the Democratic Congress in January and get further aid for Vietnam in the event we don't get a settlement on the basis of the present time to the way. And without aid, you can't survive. Now understand, you may say, well, we'll go ahead and go along, but you shouldn't. I don't want you to do that. When I raised the point that, well, we'll have to go it alone and settle it alone, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that because I want you to survive. I don't want this war to be fought for nothing. I don't want to have all your people to have died, 55,000 Americans to have died for nothing. But on the other hand, I'm simply saying that if the Congress cuts off the purse strings, we cut those strings. At least to get on his respect. And that would be a tragic ending to what has otherwise been a heroic endeavor by your people and by ours. So you see, President Jew's got to see it our way too. I'm trying to understand his way, and I do. Because I'm one that I feel for your people. I feel for the men who die. I feel for their children. I feel for a little child I recall in a hospital, the face of a Madonna in 1966. Her arm would have been blown off by a damned communist Viet Cong strap. She had lost it, never mind. I am a strong lady for the survival of Vietnam, pardon the interest of the United States, but it's affecting world policy present, as you are, I am, because it's the right thing to do. But on the other hand, I do know what we face here, and what we face is that if you take an intransigent attitude on these negotiations, and we don't settle this next week, and then brief our timetable of concluding it by the 22nd of December, if we don't do that, then come January 3rd, the resolution will be introduced, and it will be passed. And it'll be passed in 1 week. And there is nothing I can do to stop it, because, see, the veto doesn't fall there. This is a positive action. I must get the money. So, if I veto the bill, I'm vetoing the, see, that's what the writer wrote. There should be no money provided for Vietnam in the event that we get people about this foreign investment movie. I've already seen the language of what the Dove's going to put up. And the Hawks cannot beat it. Now, with this in mind, dealing with this reality, I would simply say that I know there's a President Hughes in the discussion, possibly meeting with me and so forth. I don't see how that can serve, because I've been delighted to meet him many times. I think the time of the meeting is for him and me to meet on a basis where we stand together and say, now we have made peace. It may not be the best kind of agreement we want, but that we've made peace, and the United States and the GDM are going to stand together over this period of time to see that this agreement is kept. I can say publicly at that time, but I can tell you privately, that in the event that it is broken, that whoever breaks it will take risks that will be unacceptable. And I may tell you that those risks would be unacceptable because what we've done up to this point, we typically, they break this over again, they're going to deal with something a little more than money.
And then you would have Americans opposed.
Well, that's the point. It's, well, it isn't, you see, it isn't just American support, it's true. I'll give you cold turkey about it. We all talk about American public opinion and opinion polls and all the rest. They polled the American people the other day, and somebody, Gallup or somebody, they said about POWs for withdrawal and so forth. 60% said yes. But not me. No, I'm insisting on more than that. I'm insisting. We just don't want to end the war for us, we want to end it for others. We want the ceasefire, and we want the kind of a political settlement that will keep President Hughes in power, and with the kind of a, you know, as I call it, gobbledygook up here, which will not impose on him a coalition government. I always opposed a coalition government. Even the North has said it's a coalition government. Of course, you can't believe them, they lie. But my point is, if I'm sure that if they really thought it was, they'd be bragging about it. But the point is that it isn't just what Dr. Kissinger refers to as American public support and the cold-blooded, cold-turkey way which you understand. It's the Congress up there. They've got the money. I haven't got the money. And this is not inexpensive. Now, it's worth it. I can get it. If we get the agreement, I can assure you, you will have filed this kind of an agreement. And, as I say, Dr. Kissinger will have the strictest directives to go to get everything we can next week. And he will work for it. We'll discuss it every day and do everything we can. But my point is, if we can get an agreement, President Hu then can say, well, there are parts of this, or whatever he wants to say, parts of this that I would prefer change and so forth and so on, but I have some confidence in President Nixon, something he hasn't said yet. After all I've done, he's never said that. That confidence in President Nixon, then that is said. Then believe me, I can go to the Congress and I can get overwhelming support for economic aid, for military aid, and in the event the enemy breaks the deal, for the Congress then will give me the funds that I need to resolve the bombing, and so, and because it costs a lot too. You see, it isn't just the fact that I won the election. It isn't the odds of it by any F5. Congregating towns. So there's where we stand. I talked to you frankly about our political situation. I would never say these things publicly, and I'll tell you why I don't. I don't want to get let Hanoi think that we don't have some cards to play. But we're not saying it's public. And Dr. Kissinger's not saying it's, we're not letting, giving them any idea. But that's where it stands.
But you have to know,
and it's only very the president that you knows that the situation with Congress is difficult.
Well, it's impossible. It will be impossible if we don't make the deal.
Now, the problem that you got there, it isn't a question, too, that we set a timetable that's too fast. Let me say that we've only, you know, we have a term in this country, which you know from your education, is keeping one job ahead of the other. And that's what we've been doing. The Congress has been ready to vote us out of the war over and over again. So we go to China, and we go to Moscow, and we do this or that or the other thing, and then we have to make a peace thing here. Dr. Kissinger's trips to Paris have helped enormously in that respect, because everybody goes and raises their hopes on themselves. And I go to the Congress, and I meet the Doves, Mansfield, and Fulbright, and these other clowns, and I said, "Don't look like." I said, "Well, you're not going to undercut us when we've got a chance for peace." But now, we've come all this way. And yet, at this point, when we have an opportunity to make peace on a basis which, frankly, not as satisfactory as I would like, but which combined with what I am prepared to do, and which I can get through, in my view, I have to get my judgment, peace got his, but I got to get mine too, if you want to hear. In my view, will save the GDN. Then you see, I have that course of action. That's the course of action I have to follow. And so that's my conviction this morning. The letters are hard to express again. I've written some letters to the president, and obviously he was disturbed by some. Frankly, I was disturbed by some of his statements. That's enough. But you and I, you can see talking to me as you talk, we're both of the same mind. We want to save this up here. We want to bring this damn killing to an end. We want to see that the communists do not win. But what the communists have no respect for a piece of paper. They have a hell of a lot of respect for bombs. Minds and what the President of the United States can do in order. And they have a lot of respect for the economic and military assistance for you and him. And that's what this game is about. And that's what's on the line. And so I feel so strongly on this for that reason that it's a question really, I use the term often, of hardware and software. What's the hardware? Well, the hardware of the North is going to be of the possibility that we might resume the bombing. And knowing that it isn't just having it, but having the will to do it. You know, President Johnson and I have great affection for him, respect for the football. I was stopped in this great state of the bombing post, and I think I thought it was sincere. And I think you do too. And I thought, and I didn't say it in 68 because I had no right to. But I thought, I think if we had continued the bombing in 68, but now it's past that point. We've been 4 years more. We have gone into Cambodia. We have supported your operation in Laos. We have bombed the mine of the North. And now we come to the point, after all of this negotiating, we come to the point where, as far as the American people are concerned, they see an agreement which they cannot be totally satisfied with, but which, on the other hand, I think they would say, as I have said today, that if the government of the United States, particularly the President of the United States, who is known as a hardliner, puts himself squarely behind it, that guarantees the future of Vietnam. Let me put it another way. North Korea. Sure. There are no North Koreans in South Korea at the moment. What you would like is to have them go back to the North Korea. But why does Korea survive? It survives not because of the presence of a few Americans there, they're down to 3,000 and that's a trip. It survives because, as
large degree of concern, we provide military aid, we provide economic aid, and that our careers know, our field of least concern. They started infiltration again, get those that remain in the south, and maybe we can accomplish something, and perhaps through understandings to get them moving, that's something else that we have to do, guys that aren't here to work with, and getting them moving out. But they started in that again. They are much more at risk, because this time, we can't fool around. See, that's, this is my view about my condition.
I said we have no major difficulties which your principals have just mentioned. That's the name. If I think of business and self-intimidation of people. Once that we have been trying to convey to you that we have been the implementation of these broad principles. That's what I found out. For this agreement to be a success in South Africa, it is important that we show it to be a success or a victory for our side to be approved. But for us to be able to do so, it is important for us to obtain the moving in such a way that we can explain to the people that now it is indeed a success for our side. In this regard, on the two major points.
Sure.
Question of the when we started down well, and then on the question of the political solution started down. On the question of the non-enemies families started down, we feel that it is very important, if not the most important initiative for the foreign business. First, for this is a matter of principle in all its practical implications. It's not a principle because we have been practicing for all those years on the assumption that it is based on the fact that in the future, there is no need for listening to you all, not get that, or if you all are issues.
Well, we know that. That's all about it. Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm just really mentioning, what is this to do? To look at the lack of really which is on the outside of human affairs, but any appropriate cooperation of the cities is not Vietnam. In such case, this we fear will have very damaging effects on the morale of the Vietnamese and the Vietnamese people. And to maintain the morale is very important in the context which follows the people. The second point is the question can be answered is that immediately after the signing of the agreement, there's going to be a political context. And as the CEO has mentioned to you in his letter, we feel that with the presence of the NPA, which is rather substantial and which may have increased engagement in the future. It is difficult for the people to have now to preserve their choice.
Let me say, just to interrupt you for one thing here. Timing on that is pretty much under its control. I mean, that's our own, just a side.
And
the political decision, right?
That's right. With the political and the elections require his approval.
That's right.
The institutions for the elections require his approval. The section, the paragraph 13 that deals with demobilization is in the same section.
So just so you know that, I just want you to know that, but we, I am, look, I have these comments that have done over the year with agreements. And let me say that on this agreement, we intend to keep it. If they break something like this, demobilization, we will not hesitate to back you.
That's just what it's about. I said to Mr. Dukes, I think that you may find difficult to say. I said, the president who spent all of his adult life before he came into office fighting communism, who for 4 years stood alone against the bureaucracy making the decisions. In the decision on May 8th, there was one member who voted with the president.
Only one.
One of the whole National Security Council. The fact, it seems, it is, I said it is to me psychologically inconceivable, knowing the president, that during his term in office, he would tolerate the communists taking over South Vietnam and have thereby destroyed everything he has stood for all his life in his first term.
Let me say another thing, too. I don't want to, this is something we can't talk too much about, but I know the danger from Cambodia and Laos. Now, you're not obviously as interested in that as you are in the South. But we have that very much in mind too. That's another part of the other part of the debate. We can't let them come around that way. And that's one of the reasons why we have worked on that side of the two, the Cambodian and the Washington directly. In fact, you get Ho Chi Minh Trail, you better than I run right down through Laos. That's why the Laotian settlement was not approved. It opened the way for them to come in and invade. But pardon me for interrupting.
There's some other aspect to the FTA. Do you feel that it is possible only to control the degree of possible future reinforcement of the law only if the principle say down that the FTA has the right to be signed down? Because in the future, if they assume the same options in the South, it would be very difficult for us to prove very validly the future of the doing so. They would not have done for protection. First, the Vietnamese have a right to be anywhere in Vietnam, and then they would confuse the ICC and say, how can you know there is a question coming from the dark? The figure of the present NDA to the South is determined. But we have the figure we have, and I'll be down also. And if you want to talk about it, and then if you put the immigration after the signing of the agreement, they have to be sent NDA to the South Vietnam. Later on, it's very difficult to prove.
Let me say this on that score, Mr. Ambassador, is that some of these things will partially and whatever the minister may make extensive notes. Be sure we're all covered on the notes so that they don't know because these are commitments we're making privately. They're very important to better understand. I'm not going to need much proof. That's all you need to know. I'm not going to need much proof. The main thing is here is I know these people, they do by subterfuge and stealth and everything like that, and I know that it's very difficult to tell. And I know that what you're really making is more basic ones. You've got to get them all out of there, or otherwise you've got the cancer there and they will continue to feed. But as far as the idea of reinforcement, as far as either arms or infiltration is concerned, that's something that I will insist be watched with the closest thing, because I know what you've been through before, after all, that main thing, that's why we might have another thing, Mr. President. See, they've done this too often before, Mr. Ambassador. I don't believe it. I share your concern.
entire would be glad to read you with general sense about this. Now, I think this is a good point.
Yes,
I did. I'm glad to hear that. I have told him that I have no confidence in the United Nations or international intelligence or international groups, I mean, the international supervisory groups, any place. Particularly, we've got communist signal, right? Now, any communist, even good communist, like Poland. Now, the point is, though, that is why I have said, with all of our intelligence, that in Thailand, we put the best intelligence people we've got, and we've got, and that, and Hayes will tell you, Cambodian travel.
say this, but don't overlook the fact that, we should be very candid about this. We're going to be talking to their allies as well, and their allies that are fishing rod, and we're going to be talking to them. Not the same way we talk to you, but we're going to be talking to them, and they have fishing rod. Now, they want to risk everything and go back to this thing. They have suffered a lot. You have just beaten the hell out of them, you know, in these last two. It's been a great, courageous performance. General Hay was a great admirer of yours. He always said, when after the hate, he said, well, the bombing and the mining was indispensable to help, but he said, you can have all the bombing and the mining in the world, if you don't have that man on the ground, it doesn't make any difference. You had the men on the ground, they were great. And that's one of the reasons why we don't want to let them down.
No, Vietnam doesn't want to admit
that they have a gun in the South.
Or, more exactly, like, just declare publicly that Vietnamese have rights to be anywhere in South Vietnam without saying that they are Vietnam.
We don't have to.
That's why we are not really saying to have even something which spells out too clearly, too specifically, the which means too specifically FDA by the name. So that's why we think that the best approach perhaps would be to find somebody which refers to this question without naming specifically the FDA. For example, Speedway Conference with regarding to withdrawal of non-South Vietnamese samples in the contact of American troops in South Vietnam. There are also at this time Korean troops. So not enough that we do sensitive about it. In addition to that, if we use the general wording regarding the very general principle that as part of the agreement can be the principle that we are forced each state has to be able to be for the state. But something of this kind would enable the government of South Vietnam to explain to the people how to maintain the order. Otherwise, it's very difficult for us to elude the approved many people South Vietnam to arrive at. But it is important for the success of the assessment. We are confident that we show that we are part of it, that all we need help to have to enable us to get such an attitude, which is very essential to the success of the farm. We do not have mentioned any day by name. Use a form which could be interpreted that it includes the NDA and it does not have a right to decide the one.
Mr. Took mentioned about the principle that supposedly because that they do not claim to us that Vietnam is ever right to be anywhere in Vietnam. What they claim to us is another lie, which is that they have no forces there. What they claim to us is that they're only Southerners, they have lives, and sons of Southerners. Now, in substance, that's an outrageous lie. Legally, it has the advantage that they are not claiming the right to be there. That is the sentence which Mr. Duke mentioned to you. We spent all the time Thursday on. And therefore we come down to the proposition. I would say 98% of our time last week was spent on precisely the issue that Mr. Duke has raised. And our judgment is we can try a phrase accepting the principle that they shouldn't use military force against each other. The countries of Indochina, we have a chance with this. But it finally comes down to the problem. Because if we have it, it doesn't mean anything. But in practice, they said like a lot of agents like March. The question, and Russia, I really wonder if I cut through this just a little.
Office.
say, I read his letter very carefully. I will reread it before I write the instructions for our commissioner. But I think it is important for me to say that, let me start with January, that the Congress comes back. The Congress, in effect, has said through the Hawks that no goal if we cannot reach a settlement, unless the communists renege on what they agreed on, you know, on October 8th. Because you see, as far as our people are concerned, Mr. Ambassador, all they know is what the October 8th thing, which of course did provide for the POWs for the ceasefire, and as far as our public opinion is concerned, our congressmen, or President Hugh to stay in power, total control over South Vietnam, so forth. When I use South Vietnam, I mean GDN, but I'm trying to, I use it only, not because I don't recognize it or any more than you do. But my point is, but the political process to be determined by the people of South Vietnam, and that is in there. This language is no accident. Sure, some of those phrases and words have, shall we say, some mystical meaning, and they will have effect on the population. But I as a Quaker, am supposed to be a mystic, but I can assure you that what really counts in the crunch when you're dealing with people like the Congress is that hardware. And I am telling you here today, I can commit the hardware, I can get it from that Congress, I can get the aid, and also in the event that they break the agreement, and there are plenty of ways that we can we will react. If, on the other hand, we have a situation in which this breaks down, and it breaks down because of the failure of your government and ours to agree to go together, and then we have to say, well, we can't get an agreement, then we, President Hugh and I, will be responsible. Not only a communist takeover of South Vietnam, because it would occur if our feet stopped and the North still got it, the rest of it. And if it's, and frankly, the Congress voted us out of the war, that's really what you get out to. That's the thing that I think we have to understand. But on the positive side, on the other hand, I feel so strongly that that's the reason I've been talking to you so frankly. I don't normally don't talk to visitors like this so frankly, but we're friends and allies because we fought and our men have died together. And that makes creates a bond that is more important than others. More important than others. But I can assure you that I'm sitting here making a commitment, which I have not cleared with the Congress. But I'm making a commitment. Not only for continued economic aid, military aid, but the big commitment is that I will afford the resumption of the bombing and more in the event that they break the agreement. Now that is the big thing. I want President Hugh to understand that that's what he has for me. However, I cannot keep that commitment if the Congress says, well, you didn't get an agreement. It was a reasonable agreement. Our POWs are still there, etc. I know President Hugh mentioned in his letter, and I appreciated this, that they would release 10,000 North Vietnamese from the South Vietnamese prisons in the event, and that would get our prisoners back. We tried that before. It won't work. But let me say, it isn't just a POW issue. That's a highly emotional issue in this country. More than we ought to be. You can't fight a war just to get your prisoners back. We understand that. But my point is that we now face a situation. I repeat again, because I cannot emphasize this too strongly. I repeat again, where I wanted to, even if I wanted to say to President Hume, we will continue the war for a year. As far as we're concerned, we will continue to bomb, we'll continue to mine until the enemy gets out of Vietnam and agrees to our conditions, we laid them down, which they might if we could continue. If I could make that promise, I could keep it. In fact, I could keep it only to set a specific date for the 13th of January. That's the date. That's what would be up. It'll take them only that long, 10 days. They'll have the hearing, vote, and there'll be a massive public reaction. It'll be bad for me. Sorry, I just have to survive for 4 more years in office, and that's that. Beyond that, even more important, it means that everything we fought for goes down the drain. Now, that doesn't need to happen. It doesn't need to happen. Believe me, when I speak about our hawks, I give you the wrong impression. They want to be with our friends that we fought for. They have stood by. They have made speeches for, the government of Vietnam, GVN, the ARP, and all the rest, despite horrible pressure from the American press. But having done all that, and now seeing the possibility of a settlement, which they did, while not perfect, well, they did, and frankly, it was one of these fellows who Congressman Ford, another Republican here in the House, good friend, always voted on the right side, said to me yesterday, he said, well, he said, gotta remember, he said, that if we could get us up, which has the combination of the ceasefire POW and a political settlement which provides for the retention of President Hume's staying power and for control of the political process, which Ford is a lawyer also, I asked him to study this particular provision, agrees, can be effective. He says, look at that. He said, if you combine that with the support of the president and his ability to resume the bombing and so forth, he says, this is a very good deal. That's what he feels. Now, if he feels that, there's nothing going to change. That's my problem, you see. That's the problem that we have. And you very properly are, and President Hume, understandably, are presenting another point of view. If we were dealing in a vacuum, it would be different, but we're not. We're dealing with a hard political reality in the United States. In my view, it is a situation where I think President Hu sees none of the policies here. He does not seem to think that it means anything to have a commitment to the president. But more importantly, he does not seem to understand that it may be this commitment. I am putting everything on the line. I will then go to Congress and ask for the money. I will get the authority. I will order the strikes and so forth. And I will do this. But I cannot do it unless I have some public support. If I don't have some public support, the Congress is going to give money. And frankly, let us suppose that we don't get a deal now, and the war drags on for a while, and we continue to bomb, and all that sort of thing, which we would have to do if it drags on. Let us suppose that. Well, first what would happen is that they'd cut off the funds. Well, we have enough in the pipeline that we can continue maybe for another 3 or 4 weeks. And then what happens? We could say different. Well, then you'd have a public opinion reaction to this. of Vietnam to stay in place with a political process and an election, which through your veto you control.
But say it as it has, Mr. President, is the unreasonableness. Trump, the North Vietnamese position, they nearly had us within 7 points in the summer of 1971, when they implied that they were willing to separate point one from the rest and to withdraw the prisoners. Then, because they're so doctrinaire, they say that's by asking for the overthrow of President
Trump. Let me tell you what I have said from this chair on 11 different occasions on national television and radio. You heard from Mr. Best, you're probably ready to die. I said, it's been rebroadcast out in Vietnam, but I have said it. That's the key lie. I looked right into that camera, the camera sitting here, I sitting in that chair, and I said, there is one condition that the enemy insists upon that we can never reach. They insist on that we, the United States, participate, join with our enemies in overthrowing our allies and imposing a communist government on the people of South Vietnam against their will. This you will not do. Now, President Hu, from his letter, thinks that that's what we're doing in this region. And I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that in view of what we're prepared to do, not only because of the agreement. The agreement is not, the agreement's language is important for cosmetic reasons. But I don't agree with for the reason, the power that you're going to have and the power that backs you up, the threat that faces the North Vietnamese.
This is a change we can make. I think we can.
The